Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. Today we're starting in the Book of Psalms. We're going to do 50 chapters out of the Book of Psalms, and we'll move on to another book, and we'll pick up the rest of Psalms on a couple other occasions. A lot of ground to cover when we're going to cover the whole Scripture, and don't want to get too long into one book, especially one of the longest books in the Scripture. So we're going to break it up into three parts, and I figured for every one book that I do in the New Testament, I have to do three or four in the Old Testament just to keep a balance there. So bear with me. And this is one of, like I said, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Scripture is Psalm 1. It's one that I advise or admonish everyone to commit to memory. It's fairly simple, fairly easy, but the words are just astoundingly deep, and something that you can apply to your life every day. You can draw illustrations from things that happen every day in life. Like I have a good friend who's in prison right now. Many of you know him. His programs air on the network on FirstAmendmentRadio.com there, and his name is Kent Hovind. Kent Hovind is in prison. And I believe that one of the things that they used against him was the fact that he walked in ungodly counsel quite innocently. And many of God's people fall into it innocently. I believe that when it is brought to your attention, that you need to sincerely weigh it out and make the right choice. If you continue in it, you may get into trouble. But it's by virtue of the benefit that many people get into trouble. I believe that one of the checks that our Heavenly Father has put on us as His ministers is that He does not allow us to get too big and too powerful in our own ministry, because if we follow His word and we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, certain things will not happen. The money will not flow from ministry work in the form of not-for-profit donations, because we won't be able to take not-for-profit donations or tax-deductible donations. We won't have that benefit unless we walk in the counsel of the ungodly and get a not-for-profit corporation and take advantage of 501c3 type tax-deductible donations. That puts a check on our ministry. Instead of our ministry growing high, our ministry will then grow wide. We will duplicate rather than build one tower. One towering ministry will have a ministry that grows wide rather than high. And you know, the higher they are, the greater the fall. Whereas if we're wide, it's not too easy for us to fall. So it's better to duplicate than to keep growing and getting bigger and bigger. So that's a check our Heavenly Father has placed upon us, I believe, but that's a check that can be overridden by ungodly counsel, which allows you to have money, which it causes your ministry to grow big rather than duplicate. And one thing I know about our Heavenly Father is that He works through His people, and He can work through some, you know, 100-fold, and some tenfold, but still, without the help, without those benefits from the world, we cannot get very big in their monetary system. So there's a check. If we follow the counsel of the ungodly, we can take advantage of the benefits of their system. And I'll tell you what, when they see you getting too big, by taking advantage of the benefits that they have to offer, they come after you. So Kent Hovind is in jail because of the amount of money that he was handling through his bank account. And when they couldn't find anything that he did wrong, because all of his stands were lawful and correct, they didn't get him on income tax evasion, they didn't get him because his stands were all correct according to the law, but they got him on a law that they made up, and his crime was taking money out of his bank account. That's right. That's why Kent Hovind is in jail. the crime was taking money out of his bank account. Because, and it's called structuring. That's the crime that he is in prison on. He is in prison on the crime of structuring. And that is withdrawing his money in such a fashion as to avoid reporting. But here's a peculiar thing about that law, is that he's not required to make the reports. The bank is. So he's in prison for taking him out of his money out of the bank, and doing it in such a fashion to avoid the bank from having to do extra paperwork. Yeah, see, they have a law for you. I mean, if they really want to get you, they do have a law for you. And, of course, I don't believe he received very good counsel, because he kept fighting on the wrong fronts, and it should have been the bank. And whoever neglected to report what they weren't required to report that went to jail. You see how the law works now and how they get you. The best thing to do is to make peace or settle with your adversary and stay out of court, because a lot of times you'll get these lawyers, and while you're paying them lots and lots of bucks, they got lots and lots of plans of how they're going to win your case for you when you go into court. But all of the arguments are non sequitur. You think you're going to win on by making this argument when you're missing the whole boat. The argument has nothing to do with the case. And that's how they use the law system against people. So if they want to railroad you, they'll bring up something like structuring. You know, you didn't really break a law, but you avoided breaking a law, and that's against the law. Or they'll bring something up like the Mann Act, which they're now using against Tony Alamo. And I'm sure that his lawyers are actively working to railroad him, too. Because all lawyers, all barred attorneys are, listen to me carefully, they are officers of the court, and their first allegiance is to the court, and their client comes last. That's right. Therefore, you know, because those lawyers, they have to go into those courts again and stand before those judges again. That's right. And if they step out of line every time they go into court and stand before one of those judges or his friends, guess what's going to happen? If they don't play along, if they don't play the game properly, they're going to lose all their cases. And then nobody's going to hire them, and they're just going to become broke attorneys. They've got the whole system down. The best thing to do is to stay out of court. But what can you do in a case where they put you in chains? So, as I was saying before, the best lesson that we can take away from this for the future is to duplicate rather than get bigger. We need to duplicate ourselves. We need to give the world system 1,000 targets instead of one. And there you have it. And our Heavenly Father, you know, even if we're small, you know, like I have a fairly small ministry. I, you know, don't have a large budget. Don't take any 501c3 donations. If someone wants to write something off, I tell them to give to somebody else. And I would rather duplicate than get bigger. You know, I would rather have another 100 of me out there doing what I'm doing than get 100 times bigger. So, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, bet you didn't think I could spend 40 minutes on one verse, but there you have it. Verse 2, but, and the but there means to the contrary, the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners, he doesn't adopt their ways, he doesn't stand with them, he doesn't stand for them, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, he doesn't spend his day scorning others, that's not his ministry. It becomes ugly after a while, and the hateful and the prideful, they will follow ministers that spend all their time scorning others. So they're out there if you're into that kind of sin. But, to the contrary, but his delight is in the law of Yahuwah. Yeah, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, I really started looking into the law of our Heavenly Father around the mid-1980s. Seriously. Because I was just not satisfied with churchianity. As I said, I was going to the corporate church there, and, you know, every Sunday, the pastor would have his little sermon done, and he'd get up there and make his speech, and he would firmly plug the baby bottle into everybody's mouth every Sunday. And all of the parishioners would just go, you know, like a baby at sucking at the breast. And some people want to grow. And I guess I was one of those people that just wanted to grow and start, you know, kept reading the scripture on my own. And one thing that really, really tore me up led up to the leaving of the church, and in addition to the 501c3 church incorporation in bed with the state issue, and the governor being the God and the mediator between God and man, or the church and God, and it doesn't work. That's it. Because there's only one mediator, and that is Yahshua, the Messiah. But the other issue was the Waco burning, when they persecuted that church there, and they burnt alive the men, women, and children of that church, and anyone who tried to escape the flames, they shot them down like dogs. And you can see that on the video. So that was another thing that disillusioned me about the corporate church, because I went into the church after that, and the pastor, who firmly plugged everybody's mouth with a baby bottle every week, nice guy though, you know. Yeah, real swell guy. And he's given me some very ungodly counsel on occasion. Of course, very well-intentioned, though. But he got up there and pretty much let everyone know that those people, that pastor, and those people deserve to be burned to death because they were a cult. And there you have it. But his delight is in the law of Yahuwah, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. Well, I want that to be me, because I don't want to be the people that are not blessed in verse 1. So I know that if I'm blessed, I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to stand in the way of sinners. I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful, but I'm going to delight in the law of Yahuwah. I'm going to delight in the law of the Lord. That's right. Now, in the corporate church, they told me, well, the law is nailed to the cross, and if you focus on the law of God, you're a legalist. And then at the same time, they said you must obey every ordinance of man, which you can't know. I mean, if I compare the law of God, which I can hold in my hand, I can know it all. I can know every statute and ordinance and every commandment of God. And I do, because now they're written on my heart. But they say that man's law is higher now in the corporate church. Of course, they have to, because they're part of that government. They've incorporated with it. To incorporate means that you become a part of something. If I incorporate something into my ministry, it becomes part of my ministry. If I incorporate something into my work, it becomes part of my work. If I incorporate into something else, I become part of it. Does not the scripture say, come out of her, my people? So are we then to incorporate ourselves into it? Are we not to be in the world but not of it? So if we incorporate, are we not of it? You know, and I heard someone say something that was somewhat profound on one of the shows, because it was profound at the moment, because I'd never thought of it before. We offer this video, the government takeover of the church. It has to deal with the whole incorporated church issue, fairly exhaustive, by Dr. Robin Wright of the Ecclesiastical Law Center, a pastor in his own right, a great presentation. And I suggest anyone get that video. It would help support the network since we're one of the only people that offer that video. But that's what it's about, the state and corporation, the church becoming part of the state and so forth. It covers the whole issue exhaustively. And so how can you be in the world, not of it, if you're incorporated with it? See, that doesn't work. But the other issue that is just like it is someone said on one of the shows, we have law shows here on Sunday, and during one of those law shows, the one that isn't running anymore, one of the callers or one of the guests said, yeah, it's like this. It's like that government takeover of the church issue, but apply that to yourself and not the church. Basically, what he was saying is he was bringing up the issue of government incorporation of the soul. What is the price of your soul? Have you incorporated with the state? Have you incorporated with the ungodly governments of men? It's the same issue. It's the exact same issue as the church incorporating with the state. Have you incorporated with the state? Because when the church incorporates with the state, what do? Well, they get a 9-digit identifying number that identifies them as belonging to the state. It's called an employee identification number. And they incorporate with the state using that number because they have to have the number to incorporate with the state. They have to have the number to take advantage of tax-deductible gifts so that people can give and deduct it from their state taxes. And why can they do that now? Because the church is now part of the state. It's only because they're giving to the state that they can deduct it. Granted, they're giving to an arm of the state, because that's what the church becomes. Corpus means body. To incorporate means to become part of the body. Become part of the body of the state. How about the government takeover of the soul? Have you incorporated with the state? Are you an employee receiving benefits, or at least looking forward to receiving benefits from your incorporation with the state? The scripture says the just shall live by faith. I find that most people will not unincorporate with the state simply because they will lose their benefits, because they think that the state can do a better job of taking care of them than God Almighty, who promises them, who says, forget not my benefits, forget none of his benefits. He says, seek first my kingdom. Shouldn't we incorporate with the kingdom of God rather than the kingdoms of this world? And what is the price we're going to pay? Are we going to lose a blessing by walking in the counsel of the ungodly? I received ungodly counsel. I was a young man, you know, becoming of age to work and wanted to get a job and earn some money so that I could buy bread for myself and support my family, such as it was at the time. And so they said, well, you got to get a number. Well, I went down to apply for a number, and of course I found they already had one for me, because someone else had already applied for benefits for me as a child because I was orphaned. And so I took the number and I used it because I wanted to work. They didn't tell me it was an application for benefits that I had been signed up for. I wanted to do a good and godly thing, because the scripture says a man who doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. So men naturally want to do a good thing, which is a gift from God. We all want to do the right thing. We want to feed our families. And then the ungodly counselors lie to us and tell us that we have to sign up for a benefit package in order to do what's right. They lie to us. They trick us. They get us to incorporate with them, to become part of their system, to incorporate our souls with the state. I had no godly counsel. If the churches had stood up a long time ago, if the churches had stood up all along and told us the truth. But see, here's the problem. Like it says here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. Well, in the corporate church, you can't meditate in the law day and night, because the law has been nailed to the cross, didn't you know? The law is dead. We don't have to follow the law. Oh, what a heavy burden, the pastor says. Just keep tithing and don't sleep with my wife, though. So now it becomes selective which laws we like and which ones we don't. No, but we delight in the law of the Lord. Do you delight in His law? I certainly do. I love His law. And if you've listened to this program very long, you know that I love the law of God. I delight in His law. So when I read this passage of Psalms and I apply it to my life, yes, it was the mid-80s when I started to memorize this, and it's helped to change and shape my life. I went from being indifferent about God's law, because that's what I was taught. It was nailed to the cross, and we didn't have to carry that heavy burden. We didn't have to worry about that, because we're free from that. I'm under grace, I'm not under the law, and all the other cliches that they drum into our brain, all walking in the counsel of the ungodly. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He doth meditate day and night. And you know, I do. I meditate in His law day and night. And what a blessing it is. The word doesn't lie. I am blessed for doing that. You can be blessed for doing it too. You need to repent. If you've thrown off His law, if you bought into the lie and the counsel of the ungodly that the law was nailed to the cross and it's a heavy burden. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. But these ungodly counselors, these wolves, pastors, teachers, hypocrites, they say that the law is nailed to the cross. It's a heavy burden. When our lawgiver and our king, the king of the kingdom of heaven, the very lawgiver who gave us the law, the one who said, if you love me, you keep my commandments, he says the opposite. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Pick up your cross and follow me. If you're picking up your cross and following Him, what are you doing? You're crucifying the deeds of the flesh. How do we crucify the deeds of the flesh without the law? If we don't have the law, we don't know what the deeds of the flesh are that are contrary to the righteousness that He wants us to put on. His law is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It's something we can look to. We're not just wandering ships on the sea without a rudder. We have a rudder. The rudder is His Word. Without it, we're directionless. Who is it up to then, if we throw out His law? Who gets to decide what's right and wrong? Do we? But His delight is in the law of Yahuwah, and in His law He doth meditate day and night. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, we're going into a break here. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we've jumped into Psalms today. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for the news.